All right, so if you want to grab a phone and get in this conversation, you're welcome to. We're talking about the Pirates of Barbary. This is a period 17th century Mediterranean history, which we're learning from is being very relevant, I think, to today's pirate discussion as well off the coast of Africa. And, yeah, right now there's yet another story in the news about piracy. I'll tell you about what's the most recent example of this coming up in just a minute, and you can grab a phone call, too, for Adrian Tenniswood next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponnett. All right, so we'll get to your calls here in just a second, but I meant to mention this as we were talking with Kelly Sweeney just a few minutes ago. He kind of hinted at this, but he said the maritime piracy attacks are hitting an all-time high. Here's actually some of the numbers going on. The global attacks on ships rose to an all-time high of 266 during the first 6 months of 2011. That more than 117 ships were attacked. 20 were seized by pirates off the coast of Somalia just since the beginning of this year. 28 ships, 518 hostages have been held for ransom just up through April, when the last statistics were available. How does that rank to the classic period of the Pirates of Barbary?
It's fairly small beer, to be honest. We're talking about at the height in the 1630s, I think there's something like 400, 500 ships just out of England and France. But of course, they're much smaller. You know, they're much smaller. So tonnage, there's no comparison. The modern day has it. But in a lot of the ships that were taken by Barbary, they're small fishing boats, that kind of thing. You know, sometimes they'd just be the fishing fleet coming into the west coast of England, coming back from one of the expeditions, and Algerian corsairs would just take, you know, two, three, four ships. But they were quite small, with maybe sort of half a dozen crewmen on board.
Right.
So it's hard to make. You know, those comparisons are very, very complicated. I think they're very difficult to make.
There's no way yet to be able to estimate how much has already been taken, but somewhere in the area of $16 billion worth is what this piracy is costing industry.
Yeah, which is it's a phenomenal amount.
Incredible.
It was so strange when I was actually writing my book, literally when I was writing it, you know, I would turn on CNN or BBC News or whatever, and I was writing about these guys, you know, brave but very scary men, rushing around in small boats and holding the economy of the West to ransom in the 17th century, and then watching the TV and seeing history history repeating itself. It's a very spooky feeling, I think.
Yeah. Just to throw in another quote here from an expert on that subject about piracy as it's going on right now, is the growth in piracy highlights that with the use of mother ships, pirates are now venturing out many hundreds of miles from the East African coastline. This is just like what happened in the 17th century. The ships got bigger, these mother ships got bigger, and they were able to get further and further out.
That's right, and it's a very frightening development, I think. Captain Kelly made that quite clear. And I must say, I do echo his concern for the way we treat mariners. I think it's appalling that more isn't done to safeguard their welfare. He and I may disagree on what those methods are, but
right,
it's very important indeed. I think.
You know,
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know that drastic is wrong on this. I'm beginning to think that, I think it's like any other kind of thing. If you have the house on the block that has the security system, then the burglars are going to go to the house that doesn't. I mean, they're going to take a path of least resistance. And if you keep creating a path of resistance, eventually it will, you know, the pirates will be forced to go into a smaller and smaller area. And who knows, they might actually, you know, get real jobs someday.
And it may be, I think to a certain extent, you know, it's a case of different cultures. I mean, British culture and American culture, that we come at this from a slight different angle because we have, as cultures, we have very different attitudes to guns, you know, towards arming people. So naturally, we're a little bit more reluctant maybe than some of you are. But I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, I think it needs to. The idea of armed guards on board merchant ships needs to go hand in hand with a much stronger political drive towards a solution. But maybe, you know, maybe it's part of the overall solution.
Don is in Port Charlotte, Florida, on Coast to Coast for Pirates of Barbary. Don?
Yeah, hi. How are you, Ian?
I'm fine. Go ahead. You're talking with Adrian Tenniswood.
Well, what I wanted to ask Adrian is, when the pirates are captured, how are they punished?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, and are we talking about pirates today or pirates in the 17th century there?
I'm talking about pirates today that's killing our people.
They are, I mean, the last I saw, weren't they given life sentences in Norfolk, Virginia? The last, you had your first pirate trial in 150 years, I think, earlier this year.
Right, yeah. But, you know, the local governments obviously are not, it's just like it was in the 17th century, the local governments, the ones that they run to, the ones they pay tribute money to for protection, they're not prosecuting them, not in Somalia.
No, they're not. They're not, right. And it's because it's part of, you know, it's because it's part of their economy. It's part of their sort of social sort of structures. Piracy is not seen as a crime in Somalia. That's why there needs to be change within Somalia to outlaw it and to make sure there are sanctions. You know.
Let's get a couple more calls on this subject, and then we may go to open lines for the rest of this hour. But let's pick up Marshall in Yellow Springs, Ohio, on a wild card line on Coast to Coast for Adrian Tenniswood. Go ahead, Marshall.
Hey,
good.
Great. I've actually been kind of following this whole story, particularly on Coast to Coast with Captain Sweeney. But I'm at the point now where I'm actually considering starting a company that will, for lack of a better term, kind of form a protective escort for some of these ships. Particularly for companies that don't want to arm the crew, that kind of thing. Because one of the things I do on the side is I work in an advanced weaponry area. And we've been developing some systems I can't really talk about right now, but we'd be able to deploy them against these pirates. And essentially, what would happen is the pirates would approach one of these tankers, but we would know they were there, but they wouldn't know we were there. And then the pirates would be gone. So that's pretty much what we're looking at trying to do. Whether I actually follow through with it or not depends on other things I'm involved in. But I'm looking at maybe trying to do something like about this in the next year or so.
Adrian?
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting proposition. I mean, do bear in mind, Marshall, as well that there's a massive naval presence there at the moment. I heard a while back that it's something like 30 minutes from sighting a pirate to having a military naval presence with you. I mean, that's too long. It's not working. But there are a lot of weaponry out there at this moment. I say we're in the middle of the biggest anti-piracy operation the world has ever seen.
Yeah, and one point I would point out to you is that they're still catching these ships. And I work in the advanced weapon systems area. In other words, I'm developing things that not even our navies have. Okay? So we're talking about things that are proprietary. So I can't really describe them to you, but they are in the advanced area, all right, beyond state of the art right now.
Well, then just make sure you don't sell them to the pirates.
You're not going to sell them to the pirates. You're not going to sell them to anyone. But it's the kind of thing where the tactics and the systems that we're going to be deploying are going to be beyond what these guys are even going to know about. And, you know, the idea is that we would take care of them and then no one would ever know what happened to them. You know, and that's the idea. And so we're not going to lose to them, certainly. And we would be able to protect the ships in ways that the navies would not be able to. The idea is that we would actually be assigned to certain ships and we would shadow those ships. Whereas the navies aren't really doing that kind of thing,
yeah.
So that's what the difference would be right there.
I hope you come up with it. I hope that totally works. I think that'd be fun. Whether we ever hear about it, maybe even other than this phone call, kind of debatable. We won't know whether or not you're being successful. I think for some time,
until they start popping off the radar.
Yeah. But that's cool. Robin is in Oakland, California, on Coast to Coast on a wild card line for Adrian Tinniswood, Pirates of Barbary. Robin?
I was asking to be Agnes Day.
Do you want to be the Lamb of God? You could be Agnes Day if you'd like.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. You got a question?
Yes. Well, what I wanted to ask was whether or not, ahoy to your wonderful...
Ahoy there to you.
Just a joy to listen to you gentlemen tonight. And I love this, Ian. Wonderful program tonight.
Thank you.
And please have your guests come again and again. What I wanted to ask was whether or not he had enjoyed or knew of Kenneth Roberts' Lydia Bailey.
No, say that again.
Kenneth Roberts' Lydia Bailey?
No, I don't.
Tell me about that, Robin, real quick.
Very quickly, this is a book that covers, starts with the spoliation claims and then moves down into Haiti during the time of the revolution with Christophe and Toussaint.
Huh.
And L'Ouverture Toussaint was probably one of the greatest black statesmen ever. He was at the same time as Napoleon.
Yeah.
And, of course, brought freedom to Haiti. And Tobias Lear was there in Haiti at that time. And then ultimately ended up over in Libya with the piracy.
Hmm.
And it was the two brothers, the Caramanli brothers?
Yeah, it was the Caramanli brothers, yeah.
Right, exactly. And Hammett was the older one who was entitled to the throne and was the true gentleman. And we ended up paying ransom through a treaty.
Right.
Designed by or agreed to by Tobias Lear with...
And if I remember right, Robin, it was Ahmed Mohammed Caramanli who the American Marines were trying to install in Tripoli, wasn't it? They were trying to overthrow his brother and put Ahmed on the throne instead, weren't they?
His older brother on the throne.
Yeah.
Joseph was his younger brother.
You know your history, Robin. I got to say that's pretty cool, and that does tie in perfectly. That points again to this connection between the piracy of the Caribbean, the piracy sponsoring nations in the Americas and in the Mediterranean as well. They're following kind of a similar model, maybe not the same playbook, but they had the same model. Let's go to Mike east of the Rockies, North Carolina, and then we'll get to Zeb on this, and then we'll go to open lines for the rest of this hour. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. We get one of the last calls in for Adrian Tinniswood. Go ahead.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I love this show. I watch, I listen to it all the time whenever I'm in the country. I'm a security contractor with a private company. I'd rather not say which company, but,
right.
You know, a lot of experience in the military, special operations and whatnot. And I was just wondering what you felt about these companies, private companies, getting into private security such as that with the large contractors, whether it's, you know, companies like, you know, Blackwater or,
right.
You know, now Z, Triple Canopy, G4S or Armor Group or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question, especially in light of the fact that this model was not unfamiliar in the 17th century, too.
That's right. And I mean, for me, and again, you know a lot more about this than I do. You've got the experience. But for me, I would want to see it. I think it's a good idea, but it needs to be very carefully regulated because, you know, that's where things go wrong. When the private companies, you know, we've seen things go wrong when private companies don't have that regulation. When they do have that regulation, they perform a really important task, I think. And there could well be a role for them in the Horn of Africa. There could be.
Yeah, you know,
the checks and balances, you know?
I think you'd really enjoy, Mike, reading Pirates of Barbary. But part of that, too, is that fine line that exists between private security and a privateer.
Yeah,
Right. Especially if there's a for-profit motive in bending the law for people who, that there's no other way to prosecute them. I mean, it's hard to, if you're being paid to be the law, who's going to be there to report on you when you're not obeying the law?
That's just the issue, isn't it, Mike? And it needs people there to keep an eye on things. Otherwise, they usually don't get out of hand, but they can. And let's remember, we're supposed to be the good guys. We're not supposed to be the murderers, you know.
Right.
We're supposed to maintain that moral high ground. And I think, you know, 9 times out of 10 we do, but we need a watchdog. You know, we need to make sure that people behave responsibly always.
Zeb is in Tulsa, and then after this we'll go to open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast. But I've really enjoyed this conversation and greatly have appreciated the comments and phone as well. Hey, Zeb.
Yeah.
You're talking with Adrian Tenniswood. Go ahead.
Hi, Zeb.
Hey, thank you, Ian, for having me on the show tonight. I appreciate it, and I enjoy the show every night. And, Adrian, I'd like to ask you a question, and it's kind of in regards to follow up with Mike's question.
Yeah.
You know, why do you believe that we shouldn't have armed guards? I mean, honestly, I believe that us as Americans, we normally obey the law. And if we were to be hired as, you know, private security, we would, you know, follow the international law.
Yeah, and that's absolutely fine. I mean, I think I said, Zeb, part of it is that you and I come from different cultures when it comes to arming people. And I'm not for a moment saying we shouldn't have armed guards on merchant ships, but I have a natural reluctance which comes from where I live. I live in England. It comes from an anxiety about weapons, which sounds kind of wussy and liberal, I know, but it's just there. I can't get over it. And you know, it's part of who I am. It's part of the society I live in, which means I always want to think very, very carefully before we arm civilians.
Well, it's
they
a
do
fi-
perform the task. Yeah, no doubt.
And Zeb, we do know. I mean, the arming of people on these merchant ships, I think you and I, Zeb, would probably be on the same page on that. But there's also a difference between sometimes these private security companies, as we know, whether we like to think of ourselves as law-abiding Americans or not, we know there have been plenty of abuses of that privilege in Iraq and Afghanistan where they couldn't resist the temptation to just have it their way because they felt like it, regardless of whether it was part of the mandate of the country or it was in our best interests. I mean,
I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I've actually heard of advertisements of going on ships to become like private security. And it's actually for more sport than it is for anything.
Really? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I've actually heard advertisements for that on the internet.
That it's more for sport, meaning you for the thrill of going out and stopping piracy?
Exactly. You can pay certain ship captains or who may be the powers that be, that you can go on their ships with weapons and protect their ships as in sport to shoot at pirates.
You know what?
That's a frightening thought.
It's a frightening thought, but thank you, Zeb, for passing on, because in a way it brings us full circle back to that era when people were going out for the allure of being involved in battle. And if you know, if that's what a lot of people would run off to do, was to get involved in something like that. And that brings back to your original interest about the Vernies, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And the excitement of it, that's for sure.
Well, what a good way to end then. Pirates of Barbary, Corsairs, Conquests, and Captivity in the 17th Century Mediterranean. The review from the New York Times said, bloody good entertainment. It is that. And it is, I think this would, if I was going on a cruise or something like this, would be the perfect book to bring while I'm sitting on the deck of some cruise ship somewhere. Because it brings back a lot of what happened and is still happening. Good to keep an eye on it. And thank you so much for doing just that, Adrian. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great night. And we'll get to open lines. What do you say? Go ahead and let's run the flag up here for open lines for our last half hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Ah, computers. So last six, maybe eight open line callers between now and the top of the hour. First come, first serve. Go grab those numbers. Grab the calls. before the show totally breaks down. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. I meant to mention earlier on Coast to Coast that there's a story at coasttocoastam.com about a woman who is feeding a family of Bigfoot blueberry bagels. And now at first thought, you know, some people say, well, come on, that can't possibly be real. It's a story about a Michigan woman who has regular sightings, goes out and essentially buys food for Bigfoot in northern Michigan, like somebody might buy cat food or dog food for stray pets that are feral and living in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? It's a kind thought. And in rural Michigan, this woman whose story appears on Fox News says that they get fish every day, a bucket of fruit, a bucket of dry dog food. She lives north of GR, Grand Rapids. Their favorite thing is blueberry bagels. If I'm not baking them, I go to different stores to buy them. She says she is interacting regularly with a large family of close to 10-foot-like creatures who live in the woods near her home and have for the past 2 years. We put in a call to her. We attempted to try to get her on for the first hour on Coast to Coast. We could not find her, or at least we couldn't get her to respond. I don't know the best way to classify that. We also did put in a call to Lauren Coleman, who directs the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine. And we didn't hear back from him in time to get him on the air. But I would like to, you know, we just say hopefully later on this week on Coast to Coast, either Lauren Coleman or this woman might just pop on to tell the story about her Bigfoot contact. Lauren Coleman was skeptical. He said all the Bigfoot contactees, for some reason, they never take photographs. There's a lot of interest in finding these things, but we have to look at the credibility of the people feeding us the stories. I'm always careful of two kinds of people, the debunkers who have no interest and the true believers who will not bring any critical thinking. And he says, he goes on to talk about that the close and more regular the contact, the more suspicious he is. But I think that's good to be a little suspicious, to be a little skeptical. And wouldn't it be cool if that actually were to be the case? The one that finally proved the existence of Bigfoot after all, especially after the story earlier in the week about Yeti up on the Russian side of the Himalayas. And that there's photographic evidence and physical evidence in the form of hair samples. And I'm looking forward to hearing the DNA evidence from those hair samples after they get tested. So, like I said, we'll get a couple of open line calls between now and the top of the hour to round out the night. And Sherry is in San Francisco on Coast to Coast. Sherry?
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Evening.
I'm so tickled. I feel like I passed an audition. your screener, the joke, to make sure it was good and, you know, clean. So I have to tell you a pirate joke.
Okay.
Okay, this pirate walks into a bar, and he's got a peg leg, a hooked hand, and a patch over one eye, and he sits down and orders a drink, and the bartender says, "Oh, mate, you've had a rough time. What happened to your leg?" He says, "Well, I got into a fight with a crocodile, and the crocodile bit off my leg." "Oh, mate, that's pretty bad." He says, "Well, what happened to your hand?" "Well, I was pulling the ropes, you know, and changing the sail there, and my hand got caught in the ropes, and I lost my hand." "Oh, mate, that's so bad. Well, what happened to your eye then?" He says, "Well, I was looking up in the sky, and a bird flew by and pooped in my eye." And he says, "Well, but how'd you lose your eye then?" He says, "Well, that was the first day I had my hooked hand."
Of course. Good. Well, thank you, Sherry, for jumping that. And yes, probably not a great call for Adrian, but a very good call for us. So thank you. I'm glad you jumped in and got us started on open lines. Goes to show you that that for open lines, you never know where you're going to take us. So thanks for getting us started. And Jeff is in Kansas on Coast to Coast. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Hey, open lines. Where do you want to go with it?
Well, I'm in a little town, about 40,000 people, northwest of Wichita, Kansas. We have a museum here that is all about space. It just happens to have a couple different things that's known worldwide. One of them, not quite about pirates, but it was sitting at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean for many years. It was the Gus Grissom Liberty Bell Mercury capsule.
Sure, the one that that sank. Some people felt like he panicked or something like that and sank the capsule?
Exactly right. And it was recovered from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, and they cleaned it up here in town at a place called Spaceworks. And in fact, you can buy some of the bolts and nuts and bolts and stuff that they excess pieces that they pulled from the capsule. It's amazing when you see how small one of the Mercury capsules is.
Yeah.
You think, gosh, these people, how would you crawl into one of those? But anyway,
right.
Also along with that piece, we have the Apollo 13 command module from the actual one that from you imagine the movie,
right.
Apollo 13.
Sure. Now, this is in Hutchinson, Kansas. Why there?
It's in a place called the Kansas Cosmosphere.
Yeah, but I mean, why would they have a museum? What's the connection to Kansas for that museum?
Well, there was a lady named Patty Carey, and her husband was all about a family that started a salt mine here that's about dragging salt for the salt mines, the salt roads and stuff. And she loved space, and she got a gentleman that knew all about space.
Hmm.
And they started a planetarium, and he wanted to expand her dream. And so they expanded it with the Cosmosphere, and it grew and grew and grew, and little by little by little. And now they have such things as the 13, Paul 13, and the Liberty Bell, and they also have the Gemini capsule, and they also have the cool spy plane, which
entire
spy plane, which is just as cool as you can imagine seeing.
Well, I love the fact that it's in Hutchinson, and it goes to show you, if you've got a little money, and
yes.
Right, you can do a lot of cool stuff. If you got a lot of money, you can buy cool toys and have people come over and look at them. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Glad we can put that on other people's radar. First-time caller line, Andrew, is in Nebraska for our open lines here just for the top of the hour. Andrew?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to piggyback on what you were saying about the red light cameras, all the laws vary state by state. And here in Nebraska, for example, the money that's generated from traffic citations, whether it's written by a police officer, a deputy, or a state trooper, all that money gets funneled into the state education fund. So municipalities can't do things like set up a speed trap, say, write 100 tickets to generate money. They won't see a penny of it.
Well, that's really interesting. And that takes away the cash incentive for setting up speed traps or getting those cameras. Oh, that's really cool.
And also, we got a statute here in the state prohibiting ticket quotas. And they brought up the red light camera thing a couple years ago on the unicameral, but it was quickly shot down. So we don't have red light cameras in the state either. So it varies state by state.
Is it also illegal in the state of Nebraska to not lose to Oklahoma? Have they ever passed that as a law?
I'm sure there's some people that like that.
I'm curious about that, though. Does it make it easier when you have to pay a ticket, Andrew, to pay a fine, that you know at least it's going to education?
I haven't received any tickets for so long, but yeah, you know, I feel better that it's not going to a municipality that's trying to make up for budget problems. So
fair enough. I just wonder whether it'd be like my wife tends to take a lot of stuff out of the library and then keep it for long periods of time, but it never bothers her. because she figures if she pays a $50 fine to the library, well, you know, the library needed the money. So I just wonder if they'd take the curse off getting a ticket. Bob is in Florida on Coast to Coast. Bob?
Hello.
Open
hey,
lines.
You were going to want to take a cruise and read a pamphlet on a cruise ship somewhere.
Bob's going to read a book about piracy. Go ahead.
Well, there was something about so Soldier of Fortune, I think it was. There's a cruise ship. There's a couple of them that actually cruise up and down the coastline over there in Somalia. They arm the passengers. They rent you machine guns. You name it, you can get it. And they wait for pirates to try to attack the cruise ship.
Well, that's what that caller was talking about then, saying that there was somebody that was doing it for sport.
These are people. These are just you and Raider, you and me going out there and saying, hey, let's go out there and shoot some terrorists. And that's exactly you're paying to go on the cruise ship, like a regular cruise liner, like over here on the East Coast. And you're buying ammunition and you're just itching with the trigger finger to shoot yourself a pirate.
In what you saw, and I'm trying to look it up right now at Soldier of Fortune's website. But in what you saw, was there any were there people that testified? Yeah, I bagged me six pirates or anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
it came out just after the, remember that lifeboat that they shot, I guess the SEALs came in and
they took out the pirate that was holding the captain of the Maersk.
It came out right after that. I was sitting there looking on the internet. I said, my gosh. And there's actually people paying to get on cruise ships and go over there and do that. Sooner or later, someone's going to screw up. But I used to talk to Art Bell about pirates all the time.
Yes.
The last pirate ship in the U.S. was sunk in 1834. It's off of Syracuse down here in Florida.
How about that?
Yeah, they chased the pirates into the Cedar Key Cove. The pirates dumped their treasure somewhere in the lagoon. They came back out. The U.S. Navy caught them, blew up their ship, burned to the waterline, and the wreck is still sitting off the coast over here off Cedar Key.
That would be a cool dive. I love a wreck dive like that. Thank you, Bob. So I haven't been able to find it on Soldier Fortune's website, but I did find a reference to it at another website. That talked about the ad. Rates for a team of armed guards vary greatly. Can't find it yet. I'm finding a link to a link. So I haven't been able to find a primary source, just more people who are saying that they heard about it, but they didn't. There's nothing there that says this actually comes from Soldier of Fortune, but I'm looking. I think it's sort of an interesting idea. And I would think that the pirates would find that to be an easy ship to ignore. And then does it feel like you got your money's worth? Sunshine is in Hawaii on Coast to Coast on a wild card line. Sunshine?
Aloha. I'd like to thank you for all your shows. I love your shows.
Thank you. I have a good time. So I'm glad I'm not alone. Appreciate that.
So the subject is Bigfoot.
Yes. Do you have a Bigfoot in Hawaii?
No.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say what I think about Bigfoot. I think that Bigfoot is probably a gorilla-like creature that might be, you know, we're part monkey and maybe extraterrestrials. However, they should be treated with ultra love and ultra giving, not like wanting to dissect them or murder them or kill them or bring one back in and force it against its will and put it in a jail and have the DEA dissect it. Or, you know, I have spent a lot of time in nature, and I used to feed coyotes at my head at night in the desert and in the mountains in the Sierras in California. I put a dog bowl right about 1 inch from my head, full of dog food, lots of, like a big bowl. And every single time, the coyotes would come, they'd yip, 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 you could hear them. And sometimes they'd wake me up and they'd be crunching and I'd be looking straight in their eyes and they'd be looking in my eyes. And it was always so much love going back and forth. And I fed a grizzly bear out of my hand, and I love animals, so they know that I love them because they can see it through my eyes, and the eyes are the doorway to the soul, right?
Well, I believe so, that, but I hope that, I mean, the bear, remember that story from just a little while ago about the guy that was feeding the bears and then the bears ate his hand. So, I mean, just, I'm just be careful. That's all. I hope that they always feel the love and that they let love be their guide. But sometimes if their stomachs are their guide, they don't always follow the script, I'm afraid.
Uh-huh. Well, I used to also backpack in mountain lion territory,
right,
in the Sierras, and I'd often wake up, you know, only in the mountain lion area, I'd wake up and there'd be giant paw prints, like if you spread your hand wide,
right,
all
yeah,
around us. They'd never have heard us.
Well,
we're just laying
good
right there.
Well,
and
I love that.
And I rescue, like, bugs, like when they get hurt for some reason, and they're like, they're just like so loving, and you can see that they want to stay with you if they're hurt. They want you to help them. And I rescue bees out of the water, like out of the ocean. And I've had
sweet
rats crawl on my hand before because I'm rescuing them because they know they trust me. And it's because I'm trying to help them. And all animals are full of love. And I think that everyone should respect them more and give them more love. And
well, I'm with you right except for the bees, because I'm really allergic to them. So
well,
I
am too. Okay. But I invented something that's against that, using essential oils. But besides that, I don't worry about it because I'm just trying to rescue them, and they
right
always know it. They never try to. The only time bees will hurt you is if they think that you're trying to harm them, or you accidentally step on them,
well,
or sit on them.
I had one fly into my shirt once, and I was in the hospital for like 2 days afterward. But okay, your point is taken, and I'm glad that you're loving the animals up. They deserve it. I believe in that. I did the blessing of the animal service last Sunday, or Sunday before that. It's hard for me to keep track. Daryl is in Daytona, Ohio, on Coast to Coast. Daryl, try to squeeze everybody in before the top of the hour. Go ahead.
Dayton, Ohio, how are you doing?
Good. Glad to have you.
Thank you. I once heard that people lose 2 to 3 ounces a long time ago in a movie when they die, which is scientifically proven.
Right.
And later on, they said it was 21 grams.
Right.
When your heart stops. So I started thinking, when your heart starts, do you gain 21 grams? Which would mean scientists would need to put on mothers with their babies about ready to start their heartbeat. And what's interesting is nothing in the mother's brain tells the baby's heart to start. Nothing in the baby's brain tells the baby's heart to start.
Yeah.
It's called the God reflex.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I was wondering if anyone had thought of that before.
Yeah, I've never heard of that, but it's an interesting idea that even if you just had on the operating table, for example, if you had somebody whose heart was being stopped as part of the process, the healing process. So if you weighed the body and then they stop the heart because they're going to either do a heart transplant, and whether you could weigh the before and after the new heart went in, if you did the calculations, you know, and found out that there was a difference when the new heart started beating again, did the weight of the body go up? That's a great question. I don't know who's going to answer that. I can't answer that, but it's a great question. Somebody ought to. Hey, Brad, real quickly, I got time for you, and then we'll wrap things up here on Coast to Coast. Brad?
Yeah, I was just wondering, why don't the cargo ships, the flags they sail under, why don't those navies follow those ships? I mean, it's got to be a sovereign state, the ship, so why doesn't the navies of those countries follow those ships and protect them?
Yep, probably just a manpower thing, and then either because there's so many ships out there. I mean, that's what we also have to keep in mind. It's not like 10 ships. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of ships sailing under a U.S. flag. So how would the Navy ever begin to choose who is going to get the protection or not? But a fair question. I don't even know if that's a fair answer, but we'll have to wait for another show anyway. I hope that whatever weather you get tomorrow, it's going to be as great as what I'm going to be getting. Beautiful fall outside. Enjoy the changing leaves. savor the season before the ice curtain drops coming up in December. And Deus Tiamat, I do too.